98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
Here's how this works. Maloney's the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show. She takes over at 8 o'clock and drives all the news that she thinks you've got to know right now. She has the day off today, so Minch becomes the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show. What's hot?
What's hot is what Jeremy Fowler reported yesterday, is that Cardinals edge rusher Chandler Jones has requested a trade this offseason. He's on the final year of his current deal, and he's also been holding out to try and get that new deal earlier during minicamp. Here's Dan Graziano from this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin as to what he thinks will end up happening with Jones.
I don't think the Cardinals are going to trade him. Everybody I've talked to this offseason about Chandler Jones has said the Cardinals aren't going to trade him, the Cardinals aren't going to trade him. So I think it gets to a place where he comes to camp and things are okay. And if, you know, maybe if the Cardinals fall out of contention, he's somebody who gets dealt at the trade deadline. But I don't think they intend to trade him right now, and I think they'll get to a point where everybody's happy for one more year.
So I've got two questions out of this. One, will Chandler Jones show up to camp? And
yes.
Then what will ultimately happen with Chandler Jones and the Cardinals?
Doug? Nothing.
That was kind of succinct right there. Yes and nothing, Douglas.
I think the Cardinals are going to hold firm, and I think he knows it, and he's not going to get his way, and then maybe re-ask the question after the first month of the season.
Yeah, listen, I would have to agree with Doug Lease right there in his assessment on this. The fact Chan wants a new contract, that's not surprising, of course. The fact that he requested a trade is surprising to me, and it's surprising because it doesn't sound like Chan. Chan is a pro. Chan's going to line up. He's going to show up. He's going to line up, and he's going to ball out. Next.
So, I already know Doug's answer to this question, but it's our Sanderson Ford poll question on ArizonaSports.com. Does Chandler Jones deserve a contract extension after playing just 5 games last year? Simple yes or no.
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 You guys and 67% of the audience agree. No.
And I think he's going to have a great year, and I think he's going to be healthy, and I think he's a great dude. I think he helps in your life. I think he's a championship type of player. But I'm not signing any NFL player at 31 years old that came off of a bicep tear and had limited playing time.
Yeah.
It's not anti-Chandler Jones. It's anti the injury.
Exactly right. I could not improve. Next.
Devin Booker. He debuted for the Olympics and Team USA on Sunday morning, really early Sunday morning. He got 18 minutes, scored 4 points, but it was a disappointing showing by the team in their loss to France. Here's ESPN's Brian Windhorst on why they lost.
Quite frankly, they were just flat out outplayed. It was not because they were tired. It was not because the French have some sort of special magic. It was because they got out executed, and that is not something we're used to seeing from the national team that is unfortunately becoming more regular over the last couple of years.
What do you guys hope to see out of not just Team USA, but D-Book the rest of this run?
I want to see Devin Booker play like Devin Booker for the most part. I want to see him shoot the ball very, very well. I want to see him grow within the international cloud that is these Olympic Games that is going on right now. I want to see Devin Booker burst on the international scene the way that he did the national scene with the Phoenix Suns this year. I want to see it as part of the process of him growing into the player and the man that I think he's growing into.
I want him to continually, it's kind of what Wolf said, but move continually into a leadership position. Listen, I want to win the gold medal. I'm an American. There's that. I want that for him. But what I really look forward to is when he's 28 years old and he likes this experience enough and says, I'm going back to, well, I should say 27, because now that you think about it, this Olympics isn't going to be 4 years away from the next Summer Olympics.
Right.
So that's in 3 years. So when he's 27 years old, he's kind of the big dog and the alpha dog of the team and starts having other players say, I want to come to Phoenix and play with Devin Booker because they've played with him in the Olympics.
Transitioning into Booker's team, the Suns, there were a couple of personnel changes over the weekend. First, kind of the shocking one, Jeff Bauer stepping down from his role and leaving the organization, and then Monty Williams quick to fill the gap left by Willie Green. He hires Brian Gates, one of his former assistants when he was with them in New Orleans. What do you guys think of these moves?
Don't know enough about Gates to really give you a good opinion. I mean, I've read a bunch of stuff on him, but I've read probably the same stuff any of you as a listener could read on it. So I don't want to stand on the table and say, I know this is a disaster. I know this is going to be fantastic. The Jeff Bowers thing is something that I don't know what happened, but I would like to see Jeff figure it out, because there's a lot of people in the NBA that get tired of Jeff being around at some point or another. But I like his brashness. I like his the things he said. I like that he doesn't have any tact, because he says what he believes, and a lot of times he ends up right.
You know,
I don't like that he's leaving.
In regard to Brian Gates being hired to replace Willie Green, once again, this is a great thing for the Phoenix Suns and the organization that Willie Green is now the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. It is. It's a great thing. Brian Gates hiring him. He's a Monty Williams guy. He's got experience in the culture of Monty Williams, so to speak. And he also coached Chris Paul with Monty Williams in New Orleans. So he knows exactly what he's getting into. And you've got to bring people in and surround your team, surround your culture with people that are going to pick up the rope and pull in the same direction. And that's what Gates is going to do. In regard to Jeff Bauer, I think he was an excellent suitor for a guy like James Jones. James Jones, you got him, who's really, really smart, an excellent basketball player, right? A guy that had a career in the front office. We knew that, but he was a young hire as a general manager. Now you had Jeff Bauer to actually mentor James Jones. I don't think they need that anymore, to Doug Lease's point. Hmm. And maybe that's why Jeff Bauer is on his way.
So we have just 5 more days until the MLB trade deadline hits. And there was another significant move that happened yesterday. Adam Frazier of the Pirates, he gets traded into the division to the San Diego Padres. But focusing on the D-backs, as they are at this point clearly sellers, who do you think goes, if anybody?
Here's the one thing. The players that are easy to get from the Diamondbacks really aren't all that great. Escobar's done well, so he'll go for sure. But you look at a David Peralta, I mean, how many 15 hoppers can you throw to the plate before somebody says, you know what, his arm's not very good? Although he did have a fantastic play in Chicago, by the way, had a good defensive game there. But you're not going to get much back for him, so I'm sure he's gone. But what are you going to really get back for him? Probably nothing. You might even have to eat some of the contract if you trade David Peralta. I think it's open season, but
yeah.
Don't act like there's going to be a line out to get great Diamondbacks players.
You know, to answer your question, I would have to say Eduardo Escobar. I think Eduardo Escobar is the most likely right here, a guy that is having a solid season, a guy that's having a good season, a guy that I think the Diamondbacks will move at the trade deadline. And you know what the great thing about it is? They have a great farm system, top 5 farm system in all of Major League Baseball right now, and I think it's only going to get stronger come the trade deadline. That is the hope for this team, I think, going forward. It's not Mad Bum. The hope for this team going forward is the fact that they've got guys on the farm and guys in the farm that is going to make them a winner in the next 2 to 3 years.
All right, last one for you. The Coyotes, they had a very busy weekend. They had the draft, and they also executed several trades. But here's just the quick cap. They drafted Josh Doan, Shane's boy. That was kind of cool. And then they traded away Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland to Vancouver. So just what are your reaction to those significant moves?
Well, first of all, Josh Doan, yeah! Man, I love that. That was great right there, that they drafted Josh Doan. A lot of pressure on that kid. There's no doubt about it. His dad is literally a living legend inside that organization and working inside that organization. So there's going to be a lot of pressure to live up to Shane Doan. Would you say that's a dicey proposition for a young guy? Yeah, there's no doubt about it. To answer your other question, Connor Garland, to me, I absolutely loved watching this guy go about his business. I have nothing but great respect for a guy that is so undersized and yet goes out there and gives you everything that he's got. Connor Garland will definitely be missed.
I totally agree on the Connor Garland thing. I'm a little shocked by it, to be quite honest. A little shocked that OEL is gone only because Tockett's gone. I thought it would be one or the other. I didn't think both of them would go. And I admit, I do disagree with you on Doan. I don't think that there's a ton of pressure because every day of his life he's been Shane Doan's son, and he's gotten to this point hockey-wise. And I haven't read anything that says this guy is going to be able to do all of these things because his dad was able to do all of these things. I think he'll just have his career.
Maybe one of your worst takes ever. No doubt about it. That's just me. But man, that's bad.
You think it's a bad take that I believe a son of a player is going to be a son of a player his whole life?
Can I tell you right now how difficult it was knowing I had a brother in the NFL and that I was supposed to live up and be in the NFL because my older brother was in the NFL? And then my younger brother, Dale, how much pressure was on him because he had two brothers in the NFL. We're talking about Shane Doan, and he's in the same organization.
We're not talking about brothers, though. Brothers are different. Dave Pasch, Arizona Cardinals voice. What did he think when he found out Chandler Jones wants out? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Number one story of the day.
Everybody I've talked to this offseason about Chandler Jones has said the Cardinals aren't going to trade him.
Business is business. You know, you let that sort of stuff out.
We've been in communication with both guys. We know the situations.
Have you picked up the phone to talk to the agent about a contract extension?
I won't get into those. Are private.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
The one is Chandler Jones, Chandler Jones, Chandler Jones. But I did want to tell you, 9 minutes ago, the Colts just sent out a statement. The vaccinated and asymptomatic Frank Reich has tested positive right before camp for COVID-19.
What? Oh, my goodness. Breakthrough.
A head coach has tested positive. Now, keep in mind, if you don't know the protocols, if you're unvaccinated, oh, woe is you. But a vaccinated, asymptomatic anybody, and in this case, Frank Reich, the head coach, he has to have two negative tests with 24 hours in between tests, and he's right back. No questions asked. As long as you're asymptomatic and vaccinated, and he says he is in the Colts statement, so we move forward there. But the first head coach to test positive at the beginning of camp. Now, you already had last year, Sean Payton had it, but it really didn't affect anything during the offseason. This is right smack in the middle of, the middle of your rookies already there and right before your camp starts.
Yeah, man, that is so weird right there, honestly, Douglas. That is big news because of the unvaccinated and the vaccinated and forfeiting and things. Players not getting paid. Are you kidding me?
This was way back on June 8th, but this is not training camp. This is mini camp.
Do you expect Chandler or Hicks tomorrow or Thursday, Cliff?
I don't. No.
So they had no doubt Chandler Jones wasn't coming to minicamp and wasn't going to be a part of that. And now you've got the number one thing for Chandler Jones. And Dave Pasch has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, the Cardinals play-by-play voice. DP, hi, how do you feel when as soon as I say Chandler Jones and wanting a trade?
What's up, fellas? I don't know. I saw it, and I'm not shocked. I'm not concerned. That's just me. I haven't really reached out to anybody regarding it, but to me it sounds like this is agent driven. Chandler's going to be 32 in February, and you know, going to get paid a lot of money this year and wants to get paid a lot more money going forward. So what's the, you know, if you're him, if you're the agent, you're trying to get a new deal now. So I just think this is Chandler's pretty well liked and well respected in the organization. My guess is this gets worked out, but I don't know.
No, I totally agree with you, David. I think this is a lot to do about nothing. Now, listen, if he doesn't show up tomorrow, now all of a sudden, you know, that's a story. But he's going to. You know, Chan, he's going to show up, not only because of the $50,000 fine that will be out there, but also it's just not his personality to do otherwise.
Well, and as you like to say, he's got his PhD in back waxing. And, you know, what's the next step, right? I mean, he's got to get his doctorate. So, you know, this guy, you know, forget last year. He was hurt. They missed him dearly on the field, in the locker room. 49 sacks in 3 years prior to 2020. It's one of the best moves the Cardinals have made via trade, along with the acquisition of Carson Palmer. And this guy is one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most underrated players in the NFL.
Yep.
He's a game changer. The Cardinals, you know, I think defensively would have been a lot different last year if he's healthy. They need him. They know they need him. So I think this, I'm with you, Wolf. I don't think this is a big deal.
Now, I remember we had Tony La Russa on the show one time. This was before he got back into managing, after he had stopped managing the St. Louis Cardinals. And we talked to him about money in the clubhouse and how does it affect not the guy that signs it, but sometimes the guys around him. So I ask you this question, Dave. Do you think there's any chance J.J. Watt's going along and saying, oh, wait a minute, you're not talking to me, but you've got $28 million to give to J.J. Watt, who comes off of some injuries, granted, not last year, but you don't have money for me. Do you think there's any little bit of jealousy or just feeling, hey, it's business and you chose somebody else?
I think it's business. Again, Chandler's pretty easygoing, pretty well-liked, well-respected. He gets it. You know, they had to pay J.J. Watt to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that if they want to keep Chandler Jones, they're going to have to pay him. And, you know, you go back to when Calais left. You know, there was some uncertainty whether they felt, you know, Calais Campbell was going to be worth that kind of money at basically the same age of Chandler Jones. They guessed wrong, right? They mm-hmm. thought that it was, he was probably going to be on the downside after that. And, you know, he went to Jacksonville and had an unbelievable run there. So again, just without talking to people, my guess is that, you know, both Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt are here in 2022.
Can I tell you the difference on that to me, David? It's just the fact that J.J. Watt is a guy that you can play inside. You know what I mean? And I look at
– yeah.
Yeah, and you're bringing up Calais Campbell as well. Calais Campbell was an inside guy. He was not an edge guy. An edge guy that gets into his 30s, right? Now all of a sudden you're looking at that. You know how important that explosiveness is as opposed to just experience, technique, and some raw brute strength. And that's what Calais had. And that was the reason why, you're right, they missed on Calais Campbell. I'm with you on that one right there. But an edge guy is a different animal.
Yep, no, there's no question. They realize Chandler's importance. They do. But, you know, look, he's coming off an injury. You know, if he played last year and had, you know, 12 sacks, I think it was going to be hard to get 19 again. But if he had 12 sacks, I mean, we're not even having this conversation. They, mm-hmm. you know, probably redo his deal. But he's coming off the injury, getting up there in age. This is just business. This, to me, is – this is like if – people are reacting to this, it seems like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It's like the Aaron Rodgers. It's night and day between this and the Aaron Rodgers situation.
Totally agree.
This is ESPN college basketball and college football and NBA play-by-play voice, Dave Pasch. And Dave, you've always said you love doing the Cardinals. It allows you to cheer for a team. This is your team. You've been the voice for a long time. And you said some strong words at the end of last year that it was the most disappointed you have ever felt following a season for the Arizona Cardinals. So I ask you this, as total fanboy, how are you feeling for this year? Are you incredibly optimistic? Do you have a ton of question marks? Where are you for 2021?
Well, I think it's both, Doug. I think there are a lot of question marks, but I'm very optimistic. You know, last year, the end of the year, it was disappointing because they were 5-2 and they were 6-3 and they finished 8-8. It'd be one thing if, you know, they were 3-8 and finished 8-8. But the way the season ended, the 49er game, which, you know, Wolf and I weren't even there for because of the contact tracing with COVID. So I'm sitting there watching it, you know, with everybody else on TV. And then the Rams game, which, you know, technically we were watching that one on TV, too, since we were calling it off a monitor. But, you know, Kyler got hurt in that game, and it's probably a different result if he's 100%. So I'm bullish on Kyler Murray. I'm bullish on Cliff. I think they're going to figure it out this year. I do. Not many people are talking about him. A lot of people have the Cardinals last in the NFC West. To me, just on paper, if you tell me Chandler Jones is back, I have questions on the defense, the middle of the defense, and linebacker for obvious reasons. But I think this is a double-digit win team. I know there's 17 games, but still, to me, it's a playoff team, and I thought they were a playoff team last year.
Hmm. Is there a guy that you're going to be looking at the first day of training camp when you go out there, David? A guy, once they put the pads on, who are you most interested to watch?
Well, if I can be selfish here for a moment and plug the Dave Pasch podcast. I hate calling it that.
Wow.
Just weird calling, you know, but... So we're launching this new podcast through the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL here in August, and going to have a wide variety of guests. We just taped our first podcast, one about 40 minutes with Cliff Kingsbury on Saturday. And just to tease without giving away what he said, but I'll just say the two guys that I really want to see are J.J. Watt and A.J. Green, one on each side of the ball. Cliff went in depth, and again, you'll have to listen to the podcast to hear it, but went in depth on, you like that tease, huh?
This is pretty darn strong right here. I got to give you that.
On what J.J. Watt has already brought to the table in terms of leadership. Just some interesting things Cliff had to say, and then some things he had to say about A.J. Green. So those are the two guys that I really am looking forward to taking a peek at early on in camp.
Isn't it interesting? Because the answer to that question is always a rookie or a third-year guy that needs to kind of come into his own, and for you to go with two old-school veterans that obviously have a lot on their shoulders. Last question's NBA-wise. When I just say Phoenix Suns, what do you say?
It was interesting. You know, my wife and I went on vacation out of the country. They were up 2-0 when we left. And, you know, came back and, you know, we obviously knew what was going on, but the games were, you know, on at 2 a.m. where we were, so we didn't get to watch them. So, you know, it's hard to have a perspective on it because I didn't get to see it live, but obviously watching highlights, reading about it, look, it was a great season. Milwaukee was the better team and I was wrong. For a while there, I was thinking, you know what, the Bucks might be, they just seem like they play like a better team without Giannis. Man, was I wrong. He was absolutely sensational. Chris Middleton, underrated. You know, the Bucks were down in every series. There was a lot of talk about Bud, Mike Budenholzer, the head coach, and his future and what's going to happen there. And I just was so impressed with Giannis. You know, he's one of the all-time greats. It's that, you know, you win two MVPs and a finals MVP. But the best thing about Giannis, I don't know if you guys saw this. I just thought this was so cool. He's wearing a shirt for all of his press conferences saying, I heart, and then a face. The face that he had on his shirt was longtime Bucks broadcaster Jim Paschke, no relation to me, who retired. He's retiring. It's his last year with the Bucks. And Giannis did this whole tribute to him about a month and a half ago. He called him Mr. Jim all the time. And he would go to Mr. Jim asking for advice. And I just thought it was so cool that he honored him, the broadcaster, by wearing a shirt. So you go back and you look at all the press conferences, he's got this shirt that says, I heart, with and then a face of Jim Paschke. I thought that was awesome.
You play-by-play, guys.
I gotta, you know what, I need to reach out to, like, Fitz and be like, how come you never wore that, man?
That's right.
Like a shirt with my head on there. What's up with that?
Right. Well, that's because we don't know when he's saying goodbye to anybody, so we don't know whether or not it's time to wear the shirt or not. Come on.
Yeah, true.
We need to know. Hey, good luck on the podcast. Congratulations.
Yeah, it'll be fun, guys. A wide variety of guests, so it's going to be not just Cardinals related, but you're going to hear NFL analysts, you're going to hear NBA analysts, I think NBA players, coaches. It's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully, you know, I'll be able to get you guys on as well.
That's absolutely. Good, absolutely. Dude. We certainly owe you plenty. There's Dave Pasch joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline, your play-by-play voice of your Arizona Cardinals. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Coulter Cadillac courtesy vehicle, you want CoulterCadillacTempe.com. Experience the difference. Coming up next, what can Devin Booker accomplish other than a gold medal? It's coming up on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Thanks for waking up and listening to the Doug and Wolf Show this morning. We're live in the Auction Community Studios, and the United States of America was out-rebounded by France, 42-36.
Oh my goodness, that was brutal.
And no one in the United States of America was strong enough to rise up and say, I won't let Evan Fournier tread on us anymore.
Come on. That was bad. That was a bad showing right there. Inexcusable to lose to France.
Mm.
Basketball is a sport that requires a lot of timing, cohesion, role definition, very important part of basketball. And when you take a team and sort of throw it together, you have guys, you know, joining the team really without even practicing with these guys, and now they're part of your rotation. It's just very difficult to be able to find that sort of rhythm offensively. You also don't have great role definition on this team because you end up trying to close the game with five guys who are used to being the primary scoring option for their teams. That makes it difficult.
If you didn't see it through the last 4 minutes of the game, and I'd have to look it up. I'm going to be a little off, but I think they made two field goals in the last 4 minutes or
something like that. So bad.
And I love the point Tim Legler is making right there because you could really see everyone on the team says, I'm the guy. But they don't want to step on somebody else who says they're the guy. And it seemed to be they were looking in a hierarchy of Kevin Durant, you're number one. Well, he's in foul trouble and he's not shooting well. And it kind of felt like they thought, well, number two should be you, Damian Lillard. And Damian Lillard didn't shoot well. It ended up Drew Holiday took over.
Yeah.
Said, hey, fine. Hey, I'm ready to go. And he looked good, but the rest of the team looked terrible. And for the first time since 2004, the United States is a loser in an Olympic game.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I will say on this, ladies and gentlemen, Team USA, in regard to the game, Team USA, they're small, play small. Bam Adebayo and KD were the ones actually guarding Rudy Gobert. Think about that right now. Rudy Gobert. JaVale McGee came in later on, I think in the second half. That's when he made his appearance right there. But it was Bam Adebayo and KD that were actually guarding Rudy Gobert. The team went small, and Popovich went small. And to me, I was shocked there was no answer earlier. And France, I mean, I realized, listen, the team played well, I would say, in the first half for the most part. Not great, but well enough where they actually had a lead. And then going into that third quarter, man, it was just suddenly everything changed.
And France has good players. Nicolas Batum, you mentioned Rudy Gobert, Evan Fournier. But when you listen to Brian Windhorst, he does rip them. But listen when he talks about substitutions. When France has three good NBA players and the U.S. has...
They're not happy about it. You know, Damian Lillard, I think, was sober about it and basically said, when you come play for Team USA, you don't expect something like this to happen. You don't expect to play this way. You don't expect guys who are NBA stars to miss shots and not execute like this. I don't care who you're playing. Now, Greg Popovich took a different tact, crediting the opponent, which is fine, but even in a game where Kevin Durant has foul trouble, Kevin Durant goes to the bench and you come back with Jason Tatum, an all-NBA player.
I mean, that's your bench. Now, what do you want from Devin Booker? Booker did not have a great game. 4 points, 1-6 shooting, 0-2 from three, added 3 assists, 2 rebounds, and a steal. I'm really interested to see what he does on this team because of the alpha dog argument. USA basketball went into a hole for a while. Quite a few teams after the Dream Team. And Jerry Colangelo and Mike Krzyzewski saved it. Saved it as far as getting it back to a gold medal status. But it also had to do with everybody on the team knew Kobe's the dog. And then everybody on the team knew LeBron is the dog. And it kind of looked like everybody was looking around for Kevin Durant to be the dog. And sometimes he isn't. He likes to have other stars to kind of defer to. And I'm wondering whether he grows as a leader from this group or if there's a little bit of a vacuum. And then who fills that vacuum?
Yeah,
as popular war advances, peace is closer.
What is that from?
Civil War. As soon as I said who fills that vacuum, I couldn't help it. It just kept rolling then.
I knew that. I don't know why that didn't hit me sooner right there, Douglas, but I'm glad you clarified that. Listen, Team USA just looked so disjointed. They looked disheveled. discombobulated. I was shocked. There's no doubt about it. I will admit I was shocked that Devin Booker and Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday were actually out there playing. Now, Drew Holiday, look, he might have been the best player out of the floor for Team USA. But D-Book and Chris Middleton were relatively ineffective for the most part. I was shocked, and it was because of the lack of exposure practicing out on the court with their teammates. And suddenly they're out there playing in a game that had NBA players as you pointed out. So I was a little surprised by that, but hopefully this is going to be the best thing for this team going forward. A little wake-up call for Team USA losing an Olympic game for the first time in 17 years.
Next game for the United States is against Iran, and the interesting thing about them not talking about any political rivalry with Iran, but the interesting aspect is, and I think they're going to change it back eventually, but the Olympics changed medal round qualifying, and one of the major tiebreakers and components to advance is point differential. So you've already got one loss, and you're playing against Iran, and point differential matters. Take the over. Whatever Vegas is saying, take the over.
Here we go. Can a brother get some help now?
We may have multiple guys scoring 20 points on this one. Coming up next, there's a lot of tidbits about the NFL that we've got to get to. One major one for the Cardinals and a couple huge issues that might be resolved but change the balance of power in the NFC for the Cardinals to make the playoffs. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Because if any of these stories grab you and you want to rip somebody or highly support them or say anything that's on your mind, you can text us at the FanDuel text line right now at 620-620. One of them is the Saints. New building. Well, same building, new name. A 20-year exclusive naming rights deal for the news for their stadium. It is now Caesars Superdome.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
You got Caesars Palace out west in Vegas and Caesars Superdome.
Superdome, man.
In New Orleans.
The world of sports changed.
Absolutely, it has.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, speaking
of. How much money? Do you know how much
money? It does not say how much money yet. Wow. We don't know.
Okay. Millions? tens of millions? Hundreds of millions.
If it's a 20-year deal, it's hundreds.
I'm going hundreds.
Over the course of time there. Speaking of the Saints, they're a team that without Drew Brees, you assume, isn't going to be highly thought of in a playoff race. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they do well. But we'll see what the rest of that division does with Tampa Bay already there and an assumed playoff team. But there's one NFC team that might be out that opens up a spot for the Arizona Cardinals. Another one is the Green Bay Packers. If they don't have Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of Caesars and other things in Las Vegas, they have pulled from the books your opportunity to actually predict and bet on, wager, the winner of the NFC North. Because until they know what Aaron Rodgers is doing, they don't want to take any bets on it.
Oh, my goodness.
And the word retirement actually started circulating over the weekend. Would Rodgers pull the retirement card?
There's no way Aaron Rodgers is going to retire. There's no way that's going to happen. He might threaten to retire, but he's not going to retire. We all understand that. This is a guy that wants to play into his 40s. He said that over and over and over again, and I could see him. Just looking at Aaron Rodgers right now, the general health that he's experienced throughout his career for the most part, mm-hmm. and the shape that he's in right now, yeah, I could easily see him pulling a Tom Brady, playing into his mid-40s.
This is Dan Graziano, NFL Insider ESPN, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning.
Number one would be he retires, right? And like, remember Carson Palmer 10 years ago with the Bengals, and he didn't want to play there anymore. He retired, and ultimately they trade him to the Raiders. And I think that's a possibility. It would save Aaron Rodgers the training camp fines, $50,000 a day, and it would, you know, if he said he was retiring for medical reasons, then he could probably argue against them trying to claw back his signing bonus. There are some reasons for him to do it that way if he doesn't want to be there.
The reason why this is so interesting is most people think distant third place is the Philadelphia Eagles, but first and second place would be Broncos or Raiders.
Broncos.
And the reason why that's so funny is you look at how happy the Chargers are with their draft pick of Justin Herbert, how thrilled, obviously, the Chiefs are to have the best young gun in Patrick Mahomes. So it's just as huge to compete with those two teams, but to also make sure the other team doesn't get him between Broncos and Raiders to pull a move for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I believe Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, they're not long for each other. Maybe one season, if that happens this year.
I'm with you. I think he plays somewhere else in 2022, but he's a Packer this year.
Yeah, I think he's done in 2022. And I would say the Denver Broncos. That is, again, I'll come back to it, stink, Mark Schlereth tweeting it out that it was a done deal for Aaron Rodgers. He got that from somebody high up that he felt really, really good taking it to the world. And I think that tweet may have nixed the deal, honestly.
On the Doug and Wolf Show, we are not here to tell you what to think about Deshaun Watson. We just pray for justice. There's either 22 women or some collection of that have been assaulted by him, and therefore I hope those women get justice. Or Deshaun Watson is part of a smear campaign, and it's a horrible look, and it's a terrible moment for him and his family, and God bless him for going through it. I don't know which. And therefore, we just pray for justice. But on the football side of things, can you really trade for somebody that has 22 active lawsuits against them and the NFL could act on that? And if you don't trade for him, do the Texans really play him? Well, he called the Texans bluff. He showed up for camp to avoid $50,000 worth of fines every day. And here's what's even stranger. The NFL did not put him on the exempt list, meaning he's, in a sense, the starting quarterback for the Texans?
This really was the next step that Deshaun Watson had to take. It's not that he wants to be there. It's not that the Texans want him there while the NFL and police in Houston continue to investigate the allegations levied against Deshaun Watson over harassment. And so this is a case where if he had not reported to camp today, he would have been fined $50,000 a day. And so rather than face those fines and the ramifications that come with that, Watson reported. Now the question is, do the Texans take some action on their own? Do they excuse him from camp until the legal issues are resolved? Do they let him be there? Do they let him practice? It's hard to imagine when they seem like they're open and willing and likely to trade him at some point. We don't know when, but likely to trade him, that they'll allow him to practice. So how do they avoid that happening when he doesn't want to be there practicing for them, when they don't want him practicing for them, but he had to report to avoid the fines? So this obviously is a story that is just beginning. But
well, just beginning. This does affect the Cardinals from an NFC standpoint, man, as most people seem to think it's a no-brainer. If Philadelphia was willing to take on Michael Vick when he was considered by some to be untouchable, they think they would be willing to do it again with Deshaun Watson.
Oh, man, I just don't know, Douglas. This seems like an untenable situation for the Houston Texans or anyone else that is going to go ahead and try to acquire Deshaun Watson. Really? Before there's resolution on this? On what's going on with these sexual assault accusations?
I wonder if it affects the price, because if you're the Texans, if you wait and something terrible happens, do you get as much? But if you trade him now, do you really get as much? If you're the Eagles, you might be able to get him for a lot less than if you wait until the transactions have already taken place or results or whatever.
I'm sorry. I understand why Deshaun Watson is coming into training camp and not wanting to be fined right there. But what a massive distraction. And it would be this way for any team
right, that
actually acquired Deshaun Watson. What a massive distraction this is for the Houston Texans. It's untenable to me. It really is.
One interesting thing to look at with all of the situations of the Texans with Aaron Rodgers, much smaller in stature, but the Chandler Jones situation that's going on with the Arizona Cardinals, it's been able to keep any national attention off of the relationship between the Seahawks O-line and the Seahawks quarterback. because I think that would have been a major story. And now it's top five, but it's not the heat of the moment because of Aaron Rodgers and the Texans issues.
It's not even top five anymore. It's like top 10.
Yeah. And that was going to be something pretty major. Jerry Jones says Dak Prescott had the best practice that Jerry's ever seen.
Practice, man.
Ever seen his man have.
Kind of circumcising the mosquito.
Of course, Jerry. Well, no. Man, that is awesome right there. Dak, I love Dak Prescott. Can't wait to see his rebound.
If he's back and ready to go, you assume the Cowboys are the favorite in the East, but the East still looks like a division where, hey, somebody's got to win it. But no, you're not going to be impressed with anybody. And again, let's ask, why does the winner of the East get a home game?
Yes,
why? In the playoffs. They don't deserve it. There's a quick bounce around from some of the biggest stories, but nothing's bigger than what's coming up next. I'll tell you about it in a second. Football season's here. We're getting you ready for the Valley Virtual Series Training Camp Edition. Text CAMP to 620-620. Receive a link to this exclusive event where you'll hear from your favorite Arizona sports host, and you'll have the chance to win prizes like tickets, autographed memorabilia. Just text CAMP to 620-620. The Arizona Sports Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. Well, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, he's an NFL insider, and I hope he knows the rules of life. You break a major story when it relates to an Arizona sports team, you come on the Doug and Wolf Show the next day. Jeremy Fowler is next on Chandler Jones and the latest with him and the Cardinals on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.